We deserve the wrath of God. But praise God, we have the blessing of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. We're going to look at several different passages this morning, but I want to start in Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, I want to read you one verse, and we're going to go back to the book of Acts chapter number 9. But Philippians chapter number 1, congratulations are due this morning to Cody and Kelly. Raise your hands up there. Cody and Kelly recently got engaged. So praise the Lord for that. And if anybody wants to try to talk them out of it, you can get with them after church. I'm just teasing. But congratulations, Cody and Kelly. I saw it on Facebook, but not everybody's got Facebook. And so congratulations to that. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident, fully knowing, having full assurance of this very thing. I mean, something you can count on, something that you cannot lose, something that is not going to stop happening. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have full confidence that what God begins in us when he saves us, that it's a constant changing thing. How many of you are thankful that you're not what you used to be? I can look back and, you know, singing that song this morning, Tanner, looking back and seeing what I used to be, where I used to be, what I used to do, how my lifestyle was at one time, the decisions that I made in my flesh and the decisions that I did and the things I did in my own power and my strength. I look back and I say, thank you, God, that I'm no longer what I used to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I'm going to be yet either. He's still working on me. He's still chiseling. He's still changing. He's still fixing. I'm not a perfect man. Absolutely not. Nowhere near perfection. And I'll never be perfect here on earth. But I praise God that he still desires to work in me. He still desires to change me. He still desires to make me what I ought to be. He still desires to form me and to shape me. And he'll continue to do that until I die or until Jesus Christ comes back for us. I'm glad that God cares enough to do those things. I'm glad that God didn't just save me and just kind of throw me to the wolves and say, hey, you're on your own. I'm glad that on a daily basis, an hourly basis, a minute-by-minute basis, God is still working on me. How about you? Is he still working on you? Is it would a big old sign could be upon your chest and say, construction zone? Or have you gotten to the point in your life where you have said, no more, God, I am done. I don't want you to change me anymore, God. Well, you saved me and that was sufficient, so I want to just keep going the way I'm going. Or do you want to be different tomorrow than you are today? Do you want to walk out these back doors this morning different than you came in this morning? See, I love one of God's gifts to us is free will. He gives us the opportunity each and every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He gives us every day an opportunity to grow and to be what he intends for us to be. See, the change doesn't just take place on Wednesdays and Sundays. The change should be taking place every single day of our lives. I've got a 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 9-year-old. We have a stick in our house that measures their height. And every year we put a line and it measures how tall they get and that kind of thing. John Lewis has grown about 6 to 8 inches in the last year. We have been having to buy clothes and shoes and everything, and, you know, just to the point. Matter of fact, we went home this spring break and saw Melissa's mom, And when we saw her last at Christmas, he wasn't as tall as she is. Now he towers over her. It's just a constant change physically for him. He's still growing. Praise God, he's still growing. But you know what? He's not what he's going to be yet. He's still growing. But it doesn't matter on your age. It matters on what you're going to do today. Do you want God to change you and make you what he wants you to be? Now, there's nobody impossible to change. There's nobody who can't change. Everybody can change with God's strength doing the changing. So here in Acts chapter number 9, we see a man who was changed. Last week, we saw about Paul getting saved, and we saw that God said he was a chosen vessel unto me. This morning, we're going to see the radical change that took place in his life. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 17. Now remember, God had spoken to Ananias. He said, Ananias, I want you to go and find this fellow named Saul of Tarshish. I want you to go and tell him that he's going to be used of me. Ananias said, God, are you out of your mind? I don't want to go and see this man. This is the man who's been killing Christians. This is the man who's been arresting Christians. I don't want to go. And God said, listen, I have changed him. I'm going to use him. I have chosen him. And he's going to do and serve and suffer for me. I want you to go and do what I've told you to do. Verse number 17, we pick up the story. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and he was putting his hands on him, talked about Saul, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, from Saul's eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and he was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. There Saul was in the room. He was blind. He couldn't see. He was bewildered. He didn't know what was going on. He simply knew that something different had happened to him. He was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, to arrest Christians. He hated those who trusted Jesus Christ. He hated those who claimed that Jesus was the Son of God. He wanted nothing more than to stop them and to eradicate this radical thought that God had sent his Son Jesus as the Messiah. But he met this Messiah on the road to Damascus. He met this Messiah who saved his soul and changed him that very day. And now here he was in a dark room, blinded, didn't know where to go, didn't know what to do, and just simply had time to think. 3 days blind. 3 days not knowing what to do. And then Ananias comes. And God, through Ananias, takes that blindness away from Paul. Which we now know his name was Paul, but he was still called Saul at the time. And it says that the scales fell from his eyes and he could see. God changed him from the inside out. Now, brothers and sisters, let me help you understand something. It's not our responsibility to change people. I can't make anybody do anything. I can teach you and I can show you example after example. I can live it in front of you, but I can't make you do anything. I can't change you. Well, Brother Brian, why don't you make people dress this certain way? And Brother Brian, why don't you make people talk this certain way? And Brother Brian, why don't you make people come to church? And Brother, I can't make you do anything. It's got to come from something higher than myself. How many of you have enough problems changing yourself that have to worry about somebody else? I can't make you. It's got to be God and God alone. Ananias didn't save Saul. Ananias didn't change his soul. Ananias didn't change his heart. It had to be God. And so it says, when Ananias laid his hands on him, that the scales fell off, and then Saul could see. And what was the first thing that Saul wanted to do? Get baptized. And he said, why is that so significant? Baptism identifies you with the body of Christ. He said, I want to be identified now of the way. I want people to know that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a radical change. Here's a man wanting to kill people who trusted Jesus, and now here's a man who's trusting Jesus. Here's a man who wanted to destroy the way. Now here's a man who wants to promote the way. You tell me that Jesus can't change souls. You tell me that Jesus can't change lives. I stand before you a man who's been changed by the power of God Himself. Have you been? Let me ask you a question. Are you different now than you were before you got saved? If not, there's something wrong. Immediately it says that the scales fell from his eyes and he stood up and he said, I want to identify. I want people to know that I'm following the way. So it says that he got baptized, and then it says that he spent time with the disciples in Damascus. Now, can you imagine, as he went from house to house and he met with these believers, the fear that was in their hearts? Oh no, this is the man who wanted to kill us. Oh no, this is the man who wanted to arrest us. And here comes Saul into the room. Now, I imagine that before Saul got saved, he was just a firebrand. He was just one of these that was aggressive, one of these that just wanted to destroy and to kill. And he come into the with a chest, a puffed up chest, saying, here I am. Now I can imagine him going from house to house, humble. Going from house to house, remembering what's happened to him. Loving people instead of hating people. Before Saul got saved, it was about Saul. Now that Saul's been saved, it's about Jesus. Before Saul got saved, he hated believers. Now Saul's saved, he loves believers. Let me give you some, you might want to write some things down. Let me give you some ways that a new view will bring into your life of being saved. Number one, it will change your view of life. It will change how you view life. There's a movement going on. I don't know how widespread it is. I haven't really investigated it very much. Now I don't know really if it's a hoax or not because I've not investigated enough. But there's some who are saying that the earth is flat. Now, I don't know if that's a hoax, and I don't know if it's just something that people were making up. But I think there's really people out there who think the earth is flat. That's not a Christian worldview. Because the Bible clearly teaches us that the world is round. You read the book of Solomon, you read the book of Proverbs, you read the book of Psalms, you can see that God talks about the roundness of the earth. Your point of view of life changes when Jesus saves you. Let me show you another thing that changes. Your motives. Your motives ought to change. Before you get saved, it's all about what you want. It's all about what you need. It's all about what's best for you. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, it changes. It ought to change. It ought to be, hey, what's better for God? What does God want? What does others want? Your motives ought to change. Another thing that ought to change is your principles. Your principles ought to change. Let me ask you a question. What are life's principles that you live your life by? Is it, I can get what I can get, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to get it? Or is it, hey, I want to serve God by loving people and not using people? I want to live my life for pleasure. I want to live my life so that I'm pleased and I'm happy. Or is it, I want to live my life so that others see Jesus Christ? When somebody trusts Jesus Christ, their Savior, their principles ought to change. Look at another thing that ought to change is your habits. Your habits ought to change. You should no longer want to do what you used to do. Your habits change. Well, Brother Brian, I can't give up this and I can't give up that. Well, what if God asked you to give those things up? Would you be willing to give them up? Would you be willing to say, okay, God, I'll give up that habit? Is that habit that you're refusing to give up, is it something that pleases God? Or is that habit that you're refusing to give up, is it something that makes you happy? But now, Brother Brian, you're meddling now. Brother Brian, you're trying to tell me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. Have I mentioned any habit? Have I? I have not mentioned one thing about a habit. It could be shooting arrows at snowmen, okay? The habit's not what I'm talking about, but is your habit, is your desire, is what you're wanting to do, is it pleasing to God? You get saved, your habit's got to change. Amen? Another thing that ought to change is your plan of life. Brother Brian, this is what I was going to do. This was my desire. Now that I've been saved, my whole plan of life ought to shift and go do what God wants me to do. Before I got saved, my whole plan of life was to die at 30 years old and to go out in a flaming fire. My whole plan of life was to live and to get as much as I could out of life and to die at 30 years old and be done. But when Jesus saved me, He changed me. He has a plan for my life. I don't know what He's got for me tomorrow. I don't know what He's got for me next month or next year or in 5 years. I don't know, but I guarantee you His plan is better than my plan. You know what? He's got a plan for your life. And if you're so stubborn and you're so self-willed that you say, God, this is what I'm going to do, don't be surprised if God laughs at you and says, oh, okay, go ahead and try it. When you get saved, your plans change. They ought to change. Because it's no longer your will, it's God's will. Let me show you another thing that ought to change. Your source of strength ought to change. You ought to stop running on a 9-volt battery and start running on 220. What? Your strength compared to God's strength is a 9-volt battery compared to 220. How many of you have ever taken one of those 9-volt batteries and put it on your tongue? You say, what are you talking about? If you want to test if it's dead or not, just put it on your tongue. You'll find out if it's dead or not. It just gives you a little jolt. Now, hopefully nobody's been dumb enough to take 220 and put it on their tongue. But there's a big difference. Before you get saved, you're living according to your strength and your abilities. But when Jesus Christ comes in and changes your life, you're running on 220. You're running on a more strength than you can ever come up with yourself. It ought to be. Here's another one. Your purpose ought to change. Your purpose ought to change. It's no longer about you. And here's the last thing that ought to change. Your eternity. How many of you are glad that your eternity changed when you trusted Jesus? My eternity changed in August of 1986. My eternity was hell. But when Jesus Christ saved my soul, my eternity became heaven. Never to be left. Never to be gotten rid of. Never to be changed. Hallelujah, my eternity is changed. See now, Brother Brian, do you have any scripture to back this up? Do you have anything in scripture to tell me about this? No, I just kind of made it up. Of course I've got scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm glad scripture is where the source of strength is at. I'm glad I can write that. There's no way I could write this. It's God Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. We'll start there. Can anybody guess who God used to write these words? Anybody guess for me? Paul. Who was the man that was saved in Acts chapter number 9? Saul. And his name was also what? Paul. The very man who God saved in Acts chapter number 9 is the very man who God used to write these words. Listen to what he writes. Therefore, if any man, not just males, any human, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creature. If you are in Christ, you're no longer what you were. You're a brand new creation from the inside out. You've been radically changed. We'll say, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I got the same liver. I got the same pancreas. I got the same lungs. I got the same kidney. I got the same intestines. Yes. But the way you view and the way you look at life and your desires in life are different. They've got to be different. Not just a little bit. Everything ought to be totally different. Now, when I got saved, before I got saved, I loved Mexican food. Green chili and red chili and enchiladas and burritos and tacos and all that good. I'm hungry. I loved those things. The hotter, the better. Are you saying, Brother Brian, when you got saved, that changed? No. It just got better. That's not the change I'm talking about. Who I am changed. Paul said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, that means someone who's trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior, those who are alive in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Underline that. Old things are passed away. How many of you were headed for hell before you got saved? That's the old destination. I was on a greyhound, headed for hell. When I got saved, my destination changed. I'm on a jetliner headed for heaven. Old things are passed away. Think about it for a minute in your life. What is an old way that you are glad is now brand new? There's an old song, many of you probably, I'm not going to try to sing it, so don't worry. It's an old song that talks about a daddy who came home and he came to his front door and he come walking in, and before he come to the home every day, his children would run and hide because he usually came home drunk. And he usually came home and was abusive. And he usually came home and was a monster to be around. But the song talks about him coming home, and instead of his children running and hiding, he says, come here, children. I'm not the man that I used to be. And I can just picture the little children coming and be intrepid and looking and saying, is that... And then realizing that their daddy was someone brand new. And holding on to his legs. Oh, daddy, I'm so glad you're home now. No longer being scared of their daddy coming home. Your old ways are passed away. How many of you are glad your old ways are passed away? But let me ask you, how many of those old ways are you still clinging on to? Well, Brother Brian, I'm not ready to give up, and you can fill the line in. I'm not ready to stop. I'm not ready to... My Bible says that all things have passed away. All those old ways are gone. And then he says, behold, a few things are become new. All things become new. How you look at your spouse, how you look at your children, how you look at your parents, how you look at your job, how you look at the world, what you want to do, what you don't want to do, it all ought to change. Verse number 18, it doesn't stop there. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Before you got saved, you were God's enemy. You couldn't help living the way you live because that's all you had. But now, when you've been saved, it says God reconciled you to Him through Jesus. He's the one that sought you out. He's the one that came to you. He's the one that said, I love you. And matter of fact, I'm going to reconcile you to me. To reconcile means to pay a debt. It's an accounting term. How many of you are in debt to a bank or a credit card right now? Or a car payment? I'm the only one in the room. Hey, praise God. More tithes ought to be going up then. Reconciling means that that debt has been taken care of. God reconciled your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't hold you accountable for those sins any longer. The wrath of God was put on Jesus. He did it. You had nothing to do with it. He did it. That's enough to make a backslidden Episcopalian say amen. Do I have any backslidden Episcopalians in here? Well, then can I get somebody to say amen? Wave a hanky, say hallelujah, I'm saved. That's all right. Okay, that's no problem. Hey. Look what else it says. He's reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not imputing our trespasses. Okay? That means that everything we've ever done wrong, we're not going to give an account for. All those wicked things that you did, all the filthy deeds, the words where you did say and what you didn't say before you got saved, guess what? God doesn't remember those things. He's reconciled that. He has said, my Son's blood has covered that. So then why are we still living in it? Why are you still going back to it? Why are you still living in it? Why are you still remembering it? God's reconciled all of that. If you were to go to God right now and say, God, do you remember when? He would say, no, I don't remember that. Because you're brand new. It seems that some people enjoy living in that old sin. They enjoy ruminating it at night. They enjoy remembering all the wicked things. We have an enemy who reminds us. How many of you have an enemy that reminds you almost daily of how you used to be? Guess what? That's passed away. All he can do is remind you of what you used to be, and we can remind him of what's coming to him. I'm a child of the King, not through any effort of my own, but Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. And then he says this. Now then, because of this, we are now ambassadors for Christ. How many of you know what an ambassador is? How many of you have no clue what that word means? How many of you don't want to admit it? A representative. You are a representative of the King of Kings. You no longer represent yourself. I've got these business cards, about 500 of them. And when I go to places to make visits or whatever, they're not there. I leave that card. But that card doesn't represent me. That card represents Jesus Christ. Where I go, how I act, what I say, what I do, it all ought to recognize and it all ought to expose people to whom I represent. When people see me, do they see Jesus? Or do they see something else? You see, Brother Brian, I don't know in my life. Well, today's a good day to make sure who you're an ambassador for. Who are you representing? Here's what he says next. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Live like you're reconciled. Live like you're different. Live like you're changed. Stop with the old ways. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How are those that are dead in Christ live any longer therein? You're different. You ought to be different. Now, Paul wrote those words, for he hath made him to be sin, God, for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's changed us. Now, go back to Acts chapter number 9 real quick. Look what it says. It says, Paul got baptized, Paul spent time around the disciples, and now look at the radical change. Verse number 20. And straightway, chapter 9, verse number 20, and straightway, immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He went from hating Christians to preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. He went from claiming that Jesus was not the Son of God, that he was a fraud, that he was a lunatic, that he was a liar, and he went to preaching that he is indeed the Lord. The radical change. It wasn't what Paul did. It was what God did. Now, brothers and sisters, please don't get me wrong. God does not expect perfection from us. Because you can't be perfect. Stop trying to measure yourself up and saying, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do this because I really want to make God happy. Guess what? You can't make God happy. You can't please God on your own. Jesus has already done that. He's already changed you. Live in that change. Quit living the old ways. This is how I think about it in my mind. How many of you would love to have a gigantic mansion? 50 rooms, 50 bathrooms, swimming pool, hot tub. I mean, and it's all paid for and it's maintained by somebody else. All you got to do is live there. I would love to do that. Now imagine somebody saying, here's the deed. All you got to do is live in it. Somebody paid for it, somebody's maintaining it, and all you got to do is live there. It'd be about as crazy to say, you know what? Thank you, but I'd rather live in a tent down in the pigsty eating the filthy pig's food on my own. How many agree that's crazy as a bedbug? I'd rather live in that place that's already been paid for and maintained by somebody else and free than in a tent in a pigsty eating the pig's food. But you know the problem is? There's too many Christians still living there by their own choice. You don't have to anymore. You've been changed. Live in that change. We say, Brother Brian, can you give me a list of standards? Can you give me a list of do's and don'ts? Can you please tell me how to live my life? No, I can't. I'm not God. But I got a book right here. This book clearly teaches us how to live our life. Well, see, Brother Brian, give me a clue. Give me some guidance. All right. Write this chapter down. I want you to read this chapter. If you really want some guidance, Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. It tells you what you used to be, and then it tells you what you are now. Galatians chapter number 5. Well, Brother Brian, aren't you going to tell us to stop going to movies? Aren't you going to tell us to stop let women stop wearing slacks? And aren't you going to tell us that... No. Can you show that in here to me? I'm not the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit is a whole lot better than I do. Amen? Don't live according to my standards. Live according to God's standards. And guess what? I'm not going to live according to your standards. I'm going to wear my ball cap and grow a beard when I'm off of work. It's okay. That's okay. God still loves me. I may look ugly. It's okay, though. I'm going to live according to God's standards. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know for certain that the Holy Spirit has spoken to souls today. I know for certain that God has prodded us. I know for certain that God has worked in our lives today. Now's the time. You can come forward. You can stand where you're at. But whatever God's telling you to do, whatever God's telling you not to do, obey Him. Don't obey me. Obey God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ? You have no doubt that Jesus is your Savior. Would you just lift your hand as a testimony? I know it, Brother Brian. I've been changed. Lift it up there. All right. Next question. How many of you are thankful that you've been changed? So here's my question for you. If you've been changed and you're thankful you've been changed, why do you still keep going to the past? Isn't it time to finally surrender and say, God, I've had enough of my old life. I want to live this changed life that you've given to me. Last question. Brother Brian, God spoke to my heart about something this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand? I will pray for you. I see your hand. Thank you for your honesty. I'm not going to come to you. I'm just going to pray for you. I don't do this very often, but I want to know how to pray this morning. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for your honesty. God knows. He loves you. And He says, trust me, my child. Let me change you. Anybody else? Just up and right back down. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. So here's the question I have for you. Are you ready to change? Are you ready to do it God's way? If you are, tell Him
Admit it.
Repent. Let God reconcile that. If you need help, you want to pray with somebody, come on up. I'll be glad to pray with you. But do not leave here the same as you came in today. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You saw the precious hands that just went up. I lift them up in prayer to you right now. You know what's going on. I don't. I love them. And I want to help them. But God, I want to point them to you because you're the only one that can change them. Please, you do the work. And may we all be willing to live the changed life that you've provided for us. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, nice.